for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Sunday morning service of July the 10th, 1988, the final tape, number 23, of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Linda Sutter is a teacher for the morning.
Turn the rest of the morning to Linda Sutter to minister to us today.
Praise the Lord.
The Lord bless you, Linda. The anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. I'd like us to do just what he was singing about for a moment. Let's just lift our hands to the Lord and worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we bless your name. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we give praise to you, Lord. We magnify and honor your name, O Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Kohia sarara bolorando. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Gloria rabasharado. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Father, I pray that the Word of God would be quickened to our hearts this morning, that there would be a hundredfold return on it. Every scale would be removed from our eyes. Any hindrance from our ears that we would not hear or that we would not see. But that God, the Word, your living Word, will take root and grow. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord. I'll tell you what, I have had a marvelous time this week. For those of us who are, you know, in full-time ministry, I think I can probably speak for the others when I say we look forward to this time because we have all this wonderful fellowship with one another as well as the fellowship, you know, with all of you. Really, there's no difference, really. But, you know, those of us who are out traveling around in ministry, sometimes you think you're the Lone Ranger when we know we're not. And we get among all of you and begin to get refreshed. And when you're out traveling around, people are looking to you all the time for you to lift them up and to refresh them. And we come here and we get refreshed. At least I get refreshed, and I believe I can speak for the others when I say that. You know, the other night, when I got back to the trailer after we'd had the service when I ministered on Friday night about redeeming the land, I got home and I got to looking at my notes and I thought, goodness sakes, I only shared half of them. And I thought, I can't believe I didn't say this and I didn't say this and I didn't say this, and it really wasn't really directly associated with redeeming the land perhaps, but I thought, well, Lord, you must just have another opportunity for me to share again. So I have some things, and then maybe a little more, that I want to leave with you. Not that everything hasn't been said already, because in many respects I feel it has, but there's just a couple of more things that I'd like to share with you this morning. We may turn to a number of places in the Scripture, but we want to start in Philippians chapter 2. We'll refer to maybe a couple of verses, maybe just read it and then go on. Praise the Lord. It's been a delight this week. You know, I want to go back even further than that. I was going to say whenever I hear about, and we have teaching on the the sons and the 100-fold company. There's been a cry in my heart ever since that truth began to be real to me. And I first began to hear the message of the Overcomer in 1965, the first time I ever heard anything about the Overcomer was in 1965. And prior to that, 1 year prior to that, I was in my first year of Bible college, and I was thrilled with the fact that I was in Bible school, and I was thrilled with the fact that I was in a place that had the full revelation of God. I remember walking across campus one night, and I was just filled with the sense of God's goodness, and I thought, here I am in a place that has the whole truth, four fundamentals, salvation, the baptism of the Spirit, divine healing, and the second coming of Jesus. The whole thing. And you know, it was only 1 year later that I was in the same school, going through all, you know, experiencing the same things I had the first year, and I said, Lord, there has got to be more.
Amen.
There's got to be more. Just what, within 1 year's time. And I remember I'd go home, I was living off campus, I'd go home to where I was living, and I'd get before God, and I'd begin to pray, and I would cry, and I'd say, Lord, there's got to be more. Well, at that time, I thought, well, the only thing I don't have in my life right now that I'm aware of is I don't have the gifts of the Spirit operating in my life, so it must be the gifts of the Spirit that's going to satisfy. And so I'd pray, and I'd seek the Lord, and I'd cry, and I'd say, Lord, I just got to have those gifts of the Spirit in my life. And it was a blessing. A little later, it didn't happen immediately, but it wasn't that, you know, when you're real young, you want everything to happen. We get that way as we get older, too, but we want to happen, you know, within 30 minutes. And it didn't happen within 30 minutes, but within a matter of months, God began to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. It was like Sister Blanche said yesterday, it was a thrill. The first time I ever gave a message in tongues or prophesied, I mean, I knew that I was ordained for something. Amen. I remember Tommy has said the same thing. The first time he ever interpreted tongues, it put such a hunger in him for the gifts of the Spirit to flow in his life. But I want to tell you something this morning, that having the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating in your life is not going to satisfy the hunger that's in your heart. You can be ministering in the gifts of the Spirit to people and seeing the power of God demonstrated and still be as hungry as you were before you started. It is in a relationship that we are satisfied, and in a communion with Jesus Christ that we are going to be satisfied. And I'll tell you what, that hunger intensifies the older we get and the longer we walk with God, doesn't it? Just gets bigger all the time. But when I first began hearing about the message of the Overcomer, and as I've been crying out to God and said, Lord, I've got to have more, and then through a series of very unusual circumstances, the Lord brought me to a place, caused me to meet some people, caused me to go to a church where I began to hear more about it. But before that happened, He began quickening the book of Ephesians to me in the fivefold ministry, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And I'd never heard the term body ministry. Never heard it. And I was sharing with somebody, a returned missionary, I was sharing with somebody on campus about how God has an order and it's a fivefold ministry. And they said, where did you get that? And I said, God just gave it to me. I'd never heard anybody preach about it. And I went to a church and the very first thing I heard was, God has got a fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Well, man, that got me. I was hooked. I thought, I've got to get back to that place. Not only did I hear that, but I heard a prophecy that night that said, yea, my daughter, and God was speaking to me. Praise the Lord. It was wonderful. And I was really hooked then. I was back there the next week. And then I began to hear the fact that God has got an overcomer. He's going to have people on the earth that are going to reflect His glory and that are going to walk in His anointing.
Amen.
And that was so exciting to me. I never heard that. I thought that, you know, we get saved, we get filled with the Holy Spirit. We witness, we do whatever, you know, until Jesus takes us home, till He raptures us out, till He takes us out. And that had been the extent of my revelation. And I found out it was far greater than that. I was so excited when I began to find that out, that he had far more in planned for all of us. But also, there was something else that settled down into my spirit at that time that has stayed with me until this day. And that is this. As great as the revelation is, as great as the truth of that is, and as much as we can speculate about what is going to happen here, what's going to happen here, I want to make it work right now. I mean, I can't make it work. I mean, God has to do it. But I want to see it. I want to begin to see. I want to be able to walk in it. I want to see you begin to walk in the revelation that God has given you. And when we were talking the other night about God redeeming the land and us leaving this camp meeting and going home and taking authority in the places where we live, in the towns we live in the houses we live in, the community, on your job, and we're all going to do those things, have to go back home. I even have to go back home a couple of days and face some things, take care of some things. And as you go home and redeem those situations, and trust you will, and let God do through you what He wants to take back any ground you've given Satan in the natural realm, in those areas.
Hallelujah.
I want you to go home, and I want to go home, and I touched on it briefly, with this land right here redeemed as well. I want to see this message work in me.
Hallelujah.
And work in you. And you know, sometimes when we have gotten a hold of the truth, that I've noticed this among young people who have gotten a glimpse of this message, but unfortunately I've also noticed it among older people, that we get a hold of this, and I'll tell you what, our mind gets as big as a bushel basket. And we go around and we say, thank God, I'm a manifested son. Thank God I am. And I remember I was told when I was just a young person to watch out for that spirit. And I was told by my pastor certain things to look out for. And it was interesting how he had such a concern for each of us young people, because absolutely everything he told us. And we'd sit around at the table at night after church and drink tea, and he'd say, now this is going to happen, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Absolutely every one of those things came to pass, and sometimes it happened right within the church there when people would come through. And there were those that would come through declaring that they had already arrived, that they already were manifested, that they already were walking in everything that God had for them to walk in. And he told us that we'd face that sort of thing. And sometimes even around here, there have been times in hearing things and listening that I've heard people say things that borders on that. And the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, he said, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, and I want to interject something. When I said that, I wasn't talking about the leadership. I'm just talking about as I've caught had hints of people saying this sort of thing. I'm talking about is when everybody gets together. I've felt that come through the lips of some individuals, and I don't have anybody in mind. I don't have a single individual in mind. It's just something that I've heard from time to time. But Paul is saying, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself.
Amen.
Boy, when we get this message right down to the basics, It's very simple. I always say that. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude, now listen to this, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, we know that He was God. Amen? The basic tenet of our faith, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And if we are going to reign with Christ, if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if we are going to walk in the fullness of what God has for us and what He has prepared for us to walk in Christ Jesus, we are going to have to experience in not death on a cross, but you never know, but the blood was shed once for all, but we are going to have to become obedient to death.
Yes.
We're going to have to. It's essential. It's part of the plan. It's one of the rules. That's the line I always like to say. We're talking about things. Now I say, that's the rule. You know, a person acts a certain way or does a certain thing or has a certain function. I say, that's a rule. They're supposed to be that way. They're supposed to do that. That's their plan. That's the plan for them. And it's a plan for us this morning. If we're going to be like Christ Jesus, we have to become obedient to death.
Yes.
And let that principle of death begin to work in us. Death to self. And that is a hard one. Oh, it's fun to get up here and sing and jump up and down and dance. And there's a song, we haven't sung it here, but we used to sing it in one place I went, Sons of God Who Live on High. Let's see. Put golden crowns upon their heads. These are those that God has said they shall be kings and priests to me even through eternity. And we put so much emphasis on the golden crowns that we're going to have put on our heads, and not just the ordinary nitty-gritty and things we have to deal with to walk through to be those sons of God that
yes.
God has called us to be.
Yes.
So we're going to have to, as Him, let this same attitude be in us that was in Christ Jesus, that we become obedient to death, even death on a cross. And as He did that, therefore God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every single name on the earth. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And He says, therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is working in you.
Yes.
It's God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Now, I want you to see the next verse,
yes,
because it says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may be blameless, become blameless and pure, children of God, sons of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved or perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Now, we've heard teaching on us being stars, haven't we? At least I have. I don't know that we've had any emphasis on it this week. But like I say, we always want to concentrate on that aspect of it. We are stars. We are trees. We are clouds. We are all of these things. But before that, Paul says, just live and don't complain. Don't argue. Get along with one another. Become obedient to death. And what He is saying and what God is telling us is that in every way, every part of our walk, as we walk this thing out and let it bring life in us, is that as we walk, we're going to have to let Him crucify us. Amen. Can anyone say amen to this?
Amen.
All right. And the interesting thing is, and the good thing is that we can't crucify ourselves.
Right.
We can't do it ourselves. And we can look at it strictly in a natural, you know, nobody can crucify themselves. When they put Jesus on the cross, pounded nails in, to His, actually it was into His wrist, right? I don't, when and into to his right here. But as they did that to him, he couldn't. They had to do it. If we were going to get on a cross, they'd have to do it to us. We couldn't do it to ourselves. There's always, if we were going to try it to ourselves, we'd always have one hand free.
Right. Amen.
You can't do that yourself. You have to let the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to let the Lord crucify you.
Yes.
Now we've been casting out, getting devils cast out all week. But I want to tell you something. You don't cast out the flesh.
Right.
I think I've heard somebody say that a few times this week. We don't cast out the flesh. The flesh has to die. It would be, it'd be nice if we could cast out the flesh.
Amen.
Yeah, well, we'd be home free.
Amen.
But it doesn't work that way. That's one of the rules. We have to let the Lord crucify, the Holy Spirit do that work in us.
Right.
And we prolong it many times, but He will do it. Now in the Scripture, we've got some examples of this. I want us to turn to a Scripture in Exodus.
Yes.
Now, this is not an example of crucifixion of the flesh here in Exodus, but it's an example of the mercies of God. And then we'll turn, after Exodus, we'll turn to 2 Samuel 21. You know, you young people, and some of us older people, those who have been in the Lord a while, when we're first saved, God in His mercy lets you experience a time of just enjoying the presence of the Lord. Everything looks wonderful. You're thrilled with what Jesus has done for you. And you go along and just enjoying it. Thankful that Jesus has washed your sins away. Do most all of us have this testimony? We just go along and everything is wonderful for a while. Maybe even as long as 6 months. Things are, we ask the Lord something, we hear His voice. He speaks to us right now. We need something, we don't even have to pray about it hardly. We just say it. He meets the need. That's when we're babes in Christ. It's like that. And you know, when God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that's the way He was with them at first. You know, in fact, when they came out in chapter... did I say Exodus 3? I meant Exodus 13. Exodus 13, verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country. I want you to pay particular attention to that. Though that was shorter, it would have been shorter for them to go that way. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt.
Yes.
Now this was before they went into, this is before they had even gotten hardly on their journey, it had hardly begun. And God says, I'm not going to let them go through Philistine country. Now, we've talked about, Brother Jerry's talked about all these ites this week, and others have talked, you know, we've got all these types for what all of these different nations represents. But I'll tell you, the Philistines Philistine actually means to roll in the dust.
Yes.
That's what it means. And God just spoke to my heart, that's nothing but stinking old flesh.
Amen.
Just flesh. And those Philistines were big monsters.
Yes.
I mean, Goliath was a Philistine.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, the flesh is going to be, you'll see through the Scripture, that after overcoming all of these other ites, there was always, they had to come back and face those Philistines again.
Yes.
They did. And God, in His mercy, didn't let them face those Philistines in the beginning of their walk out of Egypt and their journey through the wilderness to go into Canaan. He took them around them so they wouldn't get discouraged and disheartened. And that's just exactly what God does to us when we first get saved. We enjoy His blessings. We find out that we are in Christ Jesus. That it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. And we enjoy it for a time. But we find, and we don't have time because I want to go on here. We don't have time to go into all the examples, but we are going to, just one example I want to show you over in 2 Samuel 21, There's all kinds of examples through the Scripture. The Philistines were the ones Israel continually faced. And after they had had many victories, and David, when he was still just a youth, and faced Goliath, you know, he handled it, I mean, the Lord in him, I mean, he handled it well just when he was starting out. But we find out through King David's reign, there were those times of encountering the Philistines. And in 2 Samuel 21, we talked about the first part of 2 Samuel 21 the other night when there had been famine and David sought the Lord concerning it, and it was because of the blood-stained house of Saul and how he had put the Gibeonites to death. That's in the first part. But later in this chapter, there was again a battle between the Philistines and Israel, starting at verse 15. And David went with his men to fight against the Philistines, to fight against the flesh. David and his armies. And you know what happened to David? It says, when he went down to fight against the Philistines, he became exhausted. You ever felt like you were exhausted in your fight against the flesh? And what happened? His men came to his rescue.
Yes.
And they fought for him. They says, we don't want the lamp of Israel to be extinguished. They went and they fought for him. And what a wonderful type of how the Holy Spirit will come to our aid when we no longer seem to have the strength to fight. Amen? Greater is he in the midst of us than he that is in the world. He got exhausted. His troops rallied. They fought the enemy and defeated the enemy. And Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, will come on your behalf and will take care of, will defeat the enemy when you become exhausted in your fight. Praise the Lord. And that walk that you have with God, I think that's wonderful. I think that's a reason for us to shout right now and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now all through, now if you look over in chapter 22, you'll see how David sang to the Lord the words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemy. And from the hand of Saul, he said, the Lord is my rock. I don't want to have time to read it all. The Lord is my rock, my fortress. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield, my horn, my salvation. He is my stronghold. And I want to tell you, and especially you young people, I want you kids to listen to me. God won't, if your heart's desire is to go on with the Lord, He will keep you. I have that confidence this morning. For you and for the rest of us. He will keep us. He's done so. Oh yes, He will. You don't need to have a heart of unbelief this morning. He will keep you. He's greater than the temptations. He's greater than the flesh. He's greater than the enemy. He will keep you. When I was a Christian, when I first became a Christian, one of the first scriptures I learned was 1 Corinthians 10:13. I already knew John 3:16 and Genesis 1:1 and, you know, a couple of others. But the first one I learned that really helped me do battle against the enemy was 1 Corinthians 10:13. I could stand on my head and recite it right now. In a rainstorm, I think, or whatever's going on, it's part of me. I know there is no temptation taking me, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Write it down and learn it when you go home. 1 Corinthians 10:13. David, at this time, I want to tell you something in 2 Samuel 21. When David went out to battle against the Philistines, this was after he had failed once. This is after he had failed and fallen into sin with Bathsheba. I believe, yeah, it was. It was after that. And just because you've suffered defeat once, doesn't mean you have to suffer defeat a second time. You can go on and be a full-fledged 100% conqueror in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, God's purpose is for us. I want us to go on. Let's turn to, let's see, where should we go? Let's go to Malachi. No, let's not go to Malachi. We'll go there second. Let's go to Zechariah. God takes care of His own. He takes care of His own. I don't know, care how many years we've been walking with the Lord. We can all use this morning. We'll find that out as we go on here too. Joshua, the high priest, was standing before the angel of the Lord. Chapter 3. Zechariah, did y'all find it? Chapter 3. And Joshua was standing before the high priest. Was standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan was standing there to accuse him. You ever had that happen to you? Satan standing right there to accuse us. We said this week, we've heard it all week long, that Jesus does not accuse. He convicts us, but He doesn't accuse us. And Satan was standing there accusing him. And the Lord spoke to Satan and said, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan."
Yes.
"The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem," and I look at Jerusalem as a type of the church, which we are all a part of. "The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem," listen, "the Lord who has chosen you this morning." You, each one of you. "The Lord who has chosen you, rebuke you, devil. Is not this man, are you not a brand snatched from the fire, a burning stick snatched out of the fire?" How many of you feel you have a testimony this morning? God snatched you out of the fire.
Hallelujah.
I hope all of us have that testimony. Now, Joshua, as he was standing there, it says in verse 3, he was clothed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Now, this is what God does for us. Gives us a change of garments. And he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." How does it say it in the King James there? How does it say? Okay, what does it say? Does that say that for rich garments? Okay, with a change of raiment. When the Lord comes to us, He changes us, He changes our nature. And I want to tell you something. And I've said this before, when He changes our nature, it will change our outward appearance. I've been ministered for so many years to young people who had come off the streets and saved off the streets, who had come out of the drug culture. And you'd find as they begin to get a greater revelation of and begin to get established in God, their outward appearance would change, their clothing would change. I talked about that last Sunday. A little bit about the spirit of rebellion and the clothes we wear and how long our hair is and all of that. But I found that, I learned that from experience. And many times I've gone into other churches and there's been a word of the Lord for somebody. And there's been a word of the Lord to them about how God will change their apparel. And I've come back a year later and don't recognize them. Their apparel has changed. They're not dressed the same way anymore. They've gotten the revelation of Jesus Christ in them. And it changes things on the outside as well as the inside. Now, when I was a young person, I thought those things don't matter. God sees our heart, but it makes a big difference. It really does. For boys and girls, young and old alike, it makes a difference. It reflects. You know, when God gave specifications for the tabernacle, it was a thing, it was a place of beauty. Rich, royal colors.
Yes.
And if we are the tabernacle of Jesus Christ this morning, if we're the temple, it should reflect.
Amen.
We should be reflecting Him, and not that all of our concentration gets put on apparel or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But we should reflect His glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Give Him the best. You know, when we used to have home meetings up where I live, when we weren't meeting in a church, in a building, you know, when you meet in home meetings, you can get kind of lax. And just get kind of laid back about things. And the folks would come to church, and I'm talking about full-grown adults here, and they'd come to church in their blue jeans. The men would, and I don't like to say something to those guys that were supposed to be my deacons, you know. And but one day I thought, well, here goes, we're going to say it anyway. And I says, hey, we're the people of God. I says, even on Sunday morning, even if we're meeting in a home and we don't have all kinds of visitors dropping in, we need to give God our best and let's come to church and let's, you guys put your suits on and your women come in more than blue jeans too. And I thought, they're not going to like this. But you know, they did. They accepted it and accepted it to this day, and I'm real, real thrilled about that. But I believe it says something in the Spirit. How we are when we come together as the house of God. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord, He put rich garments on Him. And then He went a step further. And this says a lot to me. He put a clean turban on His head. So they put a clean turban on His head and clothed Him. And that turban was linen. And linen in the Scripture always speaks of righteousness. And God is changing our nature. He's changing our minds. He's cleansing our minds. He's wrapping our minds with His righteousness. Changing our thought patterns. Changing the way we have of looking at things. Amen? To be carnally minded, the Scripture says, is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And we cannot be spiritually minded apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, putting His righteousness around our minds.
Amen.
It can't be. It has to be done by the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we see people, we try, we do it too. We're going to change things. Things are going to be different. We're going to start thinking different and this sort of thing. And we work at it and we try it and we're doing nothing more than what other people who say they're going to turn over a new leaf doing something in their own ability. We can't do it. God has to put that clean turban around our head. The carnal mind and the natural mind. You know, the natural mind isn't always thinking, terrible thoughts. It's just a natural way of looking at things. And the carnal mind and the natural mind together will pervert the ways of the Lord every time. And we try and take the truth of God and assimilate it in the natural mind. It just doesn't work that way. Somebody quoted the Scripture, I believe it was Brother Jack this week, that the carnal mind, now the natural mind is, I'm going to go out on a limb if I go too far in this, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Has to be, the carnal mind has to be put to death in the mind of Christ Jesus put on. But the natural mind has to give way as well to the Spirit of God and the spiritual mind. Okay, have I got that straight? Okay. I hope I do. Now, there is a place in the Scripture that I believe is speaking of the carnal mind. And we can see it in Nehemiah. I had to get to Nehemiah.
Amen.
Ezra and Nehemiah has been the bulk of my ministry in the last year. Let me just throw something in here that has nothing to do with the subject. But a year and a half ago, God began giving me the revelation of the books of Ezra and Nehemiah anew. I mean, I've studied it in the past, but began to give it to me afresh. And I felt like He was, at that time, a year and a half ago, I felt like He was giving me a word for people in captivity. And you all know now that we're planning a trip to Russia in just a couple of months. And when Israel came out of captivity, they had been in captivity 70 years, and as we go into Russia, did you know Russia has been in captivity for 70 natural years? I think that's interesting.
Amen.
70 years they have been in captivity, and I believe we're going to them with a word not only of a spiritual word, but in some respects I believe it's a natural word, that they're coming out of a captivity. And they're coming out of a spiritual captivity as well. But I've been so much in Nehemiah, and in Nehemiah chapter 4, there is reference to a man, and it doesn't talk about it here, we'll go on, but there is reference to a man by the name of Tobiah. And Tobiah was a servant of Sanballat. And they were the staunch enemies of the house of Judah. And all that had been going on as they had rebuilt the temple and then in Nehemiah's time rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. And Tobiah had ridiculed the Jews. He had said, can life come back into these heaps of rubble? It was Sanballat, I believe, that said that. And Tobias said, what are they building? Even if a fox climbed up on it, he would break down their wall of stones. He was ridiculing Israel. He was ridiculing the Jews. He didn't have a thing to do with what they were doing. He didn't want a thing to do with it. He tried to stop it. But do you know what happened later on in Nehemiah? He is right in the temple. You look over in Nehemiah, let's see, about chapter 13. Tobiah formed an alliance with Eliashib the high priest in the years that passed by. Now he was recognized for what he was in the beginning, the carnal mind. And over a period of time, as he continued to be there, he wasn't just dwelling in Jerusalem. He wasn't just dwelling in the outlying villages. He was right in the temple of God. And he was in the room. Listen here, chapter 13, verse 7. When Nehemiah had come back, he says, I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back in them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. I believe in the King James it talks about the corn or the grain, the oil and the wine. Tobiah had taken up residence in that very place, and the grain speaks of the word, the oil speaks of the spirit, the wine speaks of the worship. He took the very place that those articles, those things were to occupy over a period of years. And how often hasn't that happened with you and me? You seen that happen? Oh, Tobiah. And Tobiah means, it's interesting what his name means. It means, now there may be some other meanings too, but as I've researched it, his name actually means Jehovah is good. And I thought, well, how can that fit? When you've shown me, and I believe it, I mean, he does not represent anything that is good. And in the New Testament, it talks about those that have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. The carnal mind will have absolutely no regard for holiness whatever. I don't know why Tobiah wanted to get into the house of God. I mean, of course, to pervert... Yeah, to pervert the things of God and to pervert all that God had promised He would do for Israel. And that's what the devil wants to do. Wants to get in, pervert everything that God has done in our lives. And here comes Nehemiah and saw this, could not believe it, and had to cast him out and purify those rooms that he had occupied right in the house of God. Now that tells me, just like with David, battling the Philistines later on in his reign, that we cannot sit still for a moment. We can't rest for a moment. That we have to be on guard every moment of our Christian life, to keep bringing in every thought, keep that mind that was in Christ Jesus, let it be in us, let Him have control over our thought life, put to death that which is of the flesh, and just say, Lord, help me walk in the Spirit, help me stay in the Spirit every moment. It doesn't end. You've just started. If you're young in Christ today, you've just started. And that doesn't mean, I mean, it is warfare, but that doesn't mean that it is always going to be difficult 24 hours a day. God gives us, thank God, refreshings from the throne. He gives us seasons of refreshing. He gives us time to come to Bible camp. Gives us time to come and enjoy the presence of the Lord here. But you're leaving today. You're going home, and you're going to take back the ground you've given Satan in your areas. You've taken back the ground that he's had in your personal life, and I trust you're going to go out absolutely victorious this morning in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift Hallelujah. Our hands and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to read a poem this morning, if I may. This was published 20 years ago, Decision Magazine. And these are, I just want to read it. It says, It's by Jack Hayford. It was written in, published in Decision Magazine. And the title of it is God's New Man.
Yes.
It says, they have come, the long-awaited. Mark their bearing, mark their breed. From conformity's ice prison are they thawed. And in liberty they function like a band from worlds unknown, in their glory as anointed sons of God. There's a brightness in their countenance, a power in their hands, and a word of sure authority they speak. With a scholar they're conversant, their understanding with a child. They're apt at warfare or to turn the other cheek. They have won through flood and tempest by the word and by the cross. And ignited by the Pentecostal flame, they have struck the crucial balance, heed the law and live by grace in the overcoming power of Jesus' name. They are mastered in their mastery. Delivered, they deliver. As with words of truth, they shatter evil's sway. Tread on scorpions of wickedness. Heal broken-hearted men, praising Him whose glory marks the glad new day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's stand up. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Let's worship Him a moment longer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praising Him. Praising You whose glory marks the glad new day. Hallelujah. 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 Doc, I'd like to pray for you this morning.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. I forget I've got one of these on. In the name of Jesus, we minister the word of the Lord to our brother. We call forth the gift of God in him. We thank you, Lord, for that which you've done, the work of righteousness that you've done. And Father, you're showing me that there's three areas, there are three things that he is desiring for your assistance in, that he's desiring for a manifestation of your glory and of your power. And we speak right now to those three distinct situations of his where your glory what needs to be manifest. We agree with him on it right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, for your miracle word, your miracle work to be manifest in these three situations. We give you glory for it, Lord. We trust you, Lord, that it shall be done as you've revealed it by your Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Let's worship Him.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Halabaroko sharando. Le balaborikarando. Ribabo sharando rekorabale kaserande. In the name of Jesus, we give glory to you. You will have a people that will be glorified on the earth. Hilabaraka sharando. In the name of Jesus, we'll give Jesus and tell of His love, and tell of His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His wonderful love. We'll give verse that we're going to sing with that, and that is we're going to walk in the kingdom with Him and we're going to sit on His throne. Amen. So let's sing the first verse and then we'll sing that verse. We'll give
the glory to Jesus
and tell of His love and tell of His love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell this wonderful love. throne and sit on his throne. We'll walk in the kingdom with Jesus and sit with him on his throne. We'll give him the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love. Just one more person I want to pray for. These folks right here, I'd like to pray for you before we dismiss. Amen. For you've wondered where you fit. And Lord, we pray right now that you're going to show them where they fit in the body of Christ, in the set which you've been doing in them, that, Lord, they've wondered and they've looked here and there and wondered what your future plans are for them and what the future holds and how it's going to all work together. And, Father, I pray that they would see you standing before them, for you're beckoning to them in a way that they haven't walked before. And you're beckoning to them and showing them that there is a way that had sounded. There was a way previously that looked good to you, but I believe God is directing you in a new direction. And I just pray that your eyes will see it when he speaks, and that you will embrace it as he speaks to you and not lag back and hold back on that which he's put before you. For God has set before you a way that is going to, there's not going to be, if you will walk in it, if you will go in that way, that frustration and that despair that you've known in previous days. But he shall cause your foot to walk in a place where there will be a surety in your step, and it will be not with the frustration that you've known in previous days. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. One more time.
By the words of the Lord, we are made overcomers. By the words of the Lord, we are able to stand. He reigns forever, and his words are eternal. He has made his appeal wrong, and he's coming again. We are made overcomers by the words of the Lord. We are able to stand. He reigns forever, and his words are eternal. It is a peace run, and it's coming again, and it's coming again.
Father, I thank you for these days that you've privileged us to be together to worship and to praise your Son, the Lord Jesus. And I thank you for it. Father, I pray your blessings over these thy people. The hand of the Lord to rest upon them, the Holy Ghost to guide and direct. So they travel their way, Lord, down through life until we meet again. That their paths may be paths of righteousness, that they will determine in their hearts that I will to serve the Lord.
Yes, Father.
Father, I thank you for it, and I decree that that shall rise up within them, that their determination shall be unto you, Jesus, in all and every area of their life, from the least to the greatest. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. The Lord bless you. His blessings and anointing be upon you. Amen.
This is the end of this message.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.